Heavenly Father, thank You that we can be gathered here together as a church family. Thank You for the fellowship that we can enjoy together. Thank You that we can be here in Your holy presence to praise Your name and also to be blessed by You. Father, we are so privileged, we are so blessed, and we are so thankful to You for Your kindness in allowing us this possibility to enjoy these things. And we do think of those for whom this is a difficult time of year. We think of those not only inside our church family, but we also think of those outside. We think of those people in the world for whom this is a very challenging and difficult time. We think of those who are suffering from having broken relationships, those who are lonely. We think of those who have financial struggles. We do think of those who are homeless, those who are impoverished. We think of the children around us in the community whose parents are dealing with addictions or other challenges. Father, all of these things can make life so difficult, and they can be felt so much worse at this time of year when so many other people are rejoicing. We pray that You would give Your mercy and help to those who need it today. We do pray also for Christian missionaries, whether here in our country or far away. They may be far from home, far from friends, far from family, serving You, serving the cause of the gospel. We pray that You would bless these brothers and sisters. And we pray that You would also encourage them with Christmas joy today. And we pray that You would bless their efforts for the cause of the gospel in this dark world. We pray that You would bless us now as we open Your word. We pray that You would help us to hear Christ proclaimed. We pray that You would open Your word, but also open our hearts to receive Your word. We pray that You would strengthen our faith and our walk with You. Please hear us. Through Christ our Savior. Amen. Indeed, let's now open our Bibles together. Let's turn to Galatians 3. We'll begin reading at verse 23. And we'll read up to 4, verse 7. And the text will be from Galatians 4, verses 4 to 5. But we'll begin reading at chapter 3, verse 23. Listen to God's holy and infallible word. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And here's our text, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And thus far our reading of God's Word. Beloved congregation of Christ, for centuries, God had been laying the groundwork of His plan for salvation to be fulfilled. In Genesis 3 already, He promised that someone would come to destroy Satan and bring salvation for human beings. And then, through all the centuries afterward, God was working to bring about the right conditions for that promise to come to reality. Finally, about 2,000 years ago, the fullness of time arrived. Everything was in place, just the way it should be. Now, a Jewish person of that time would have been hard-pressed to see it. The Romans were in control of Judea. It looked like dark times. But the Romans, too, were part of God's plan. They brought something known as the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. There was peace and stability throughout much of the Mediterranean region. The Romans brought benefits. They brought a system of quality roads like the world had never seen. Under the Romans, much of the ancient world spoke the same language, at least for trade. They all spoke Latin. All these conditions were just right for the gospel to come into the world through Jesus and then spread like wildfire. So, when the fullness of time had come, says Paul, God sent forth His Son. When we're born, our existence only goes back about 9 months. Our existence goes back to the moment of our conception. But prior to that, we did not exist. Not so with the Son of God. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is God. And as such, He existed eternally before coming into the world. God sent Him forth to be the Savior promised in Genesis 3, verse 15. And the Son of God readily agreed to go. Through the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God took on our human nature in the womb of the Virgin Mary. While remaining true God, He became a true human being. He had both a real human body and a real human soul. Like every human being, like you and like me, He developed. He developed from a zygote to an embryo to a fetus to a baby. And then the time came for His birth in Bethlehem. He was made of a woman, as it says in our text. And this was necessary because already in Bethlehem, God had the cross in mind. The one who would hang on the cross to pay for our sins. That one had to be a true human being like us. Because only a true human being could bear our punishment. It was human beings who had sinned. Therefore, a human being had to suffer God's eternal wrath and die. And Paul writes that He was also made under the law. He was born from amongst the Jews. So he had an obligation to the law in the same way all the Jews did. He was bound to the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, to the dietary laws, laws about sacrifices, and so on. But he was also bound to the moral law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments. In that regard, he was born just like every other human being, including you and me. Every human being comes into this world as a creature of God, bound by that very fact to obey God's moral law, to obey the Ten Commandments. And it was no different with the Son of God when He came into the world as one of us. When He came with gospel gifts. And this is what makes Christmas such a joyful time for Christians. It's joyful because with Christ coming into the world, we have received these two beautiful gospel gifts: freedom and adoption. Let's spend a few moments taking a closer look at those two gifts: freedom and adoption. Our text says that the Son of God was sent forth to redeem them that were under the law. Now here it's important to understand the context of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul wrote this letter to the churches in Galatia because of a danger they were facing. They were facing the danger posed by these false teachers that we call Judaizers. These were Jewish people, but they were Jewish people who claimed to be Christians. But they insisted that in addition to believing in Jesus Christ, Christians had to follow the Jewish ceremonial laws. So if you were Jewish and you believed in Christ, you had to keep on following those laws. But if you were a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, and you believed in Jesus, you had to start following those laws. If you were a man, that would begin with getting circumcised. In chapter 1 of Galatians, Paul calls this teaching a different gospel. It was a message contrary to the one being preached by Paul and the other apostles. They preached Christ alone and faith in Christ alone. But the Judaizers, by contrast, they said, yes, you need Jesus, but you also need to be circumcised and then follow the Jewish way. So for the Judaizers, it was a matter of Jesus plus. Whereas for Paul and the apostles, the true gospel is Jesus alone. Before our text, Paul was making the case that there's a difference between before Christ and after Christ. Before Christ, anyone who wanted to follow God, whether Jew or Gentile, was, quote, under the law. They were brought under its dictates, its precepts, and its requirements, including all the ceremonial aspects of the law. Both Jews and Gentiles were also under the curse of the moral law of God. God required perfect obedience from all, but no one was able to do it. And so the period before Christ was a type of captivity. Chapter 3, verse 24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." But after Christ has come, after faith in Christ has come, we have been redeemed. We've been redeemed. That's to say that we've been given freedom. Christ has liberated us. On the one hand, He's liberated us from all the requirements of the ceremonial law. He's fulfilled all those perfectly. Because He's made the perfect sacrifice once for all, we don't have to sacrifice lambs and oxen as sin offerings or guilt offerings. Because He has cleansed us perfectly. We don't have to follow the laws of clean and unclean and all the dietary laws of the Old Testament. We've been freed from all those demands that the Jews lived under before the coming of Christ. To go back to those would be to go back to a kind of captivity. Why would you want to do that? On the other hand, Jesus has also liberated us from the curse of the moral law. He came into this world and He obeyed God's law perfectly in the place of everyone who would believe in Him. If you believe in Jesus, God sees you as a perfectly obedient person. He sees you as such through the lens of His Son. Not only that, but Jesus then also went to the cross to redeem those under the law. Jesus took our place and He bore the wrath of God, which we deserve for our sins. He freed us from the eternal death penalty imposed on us because of our sins. We have been redeemed. We have been liberated from everything the law condemned us for. Now, if we have placed all our trust in Christ, we're forgiven, and we're obedient in God's eyes. We really are. And loved ones, these are gospel gifts that have come through Christmas for us. Now, if someone is standing before you offering a gift, as may very well happen today on Christmas, if someone is offering you a gift, what are you supposed to do? Well, you open your arms and you take the gift with your hands. You accept the gift being offered. And that's what we have to do with this gospel gift too. To have this redemption, to have this liberation, this freedom, we need to take hold of what Christ has done for us in our place. Take hold of it for ourselves personally. On this Christmas morning, if you haven't already done so for yourself, God calls you to. Believe that Jesus came to redeem you as one of those under the law. Excuse me. The second wonderful gospel gift that Christmas brings us is the adoption of sons. Adoption. Adoption was a common thing in the Roman Empire of Paul's day. If a father adopted a son, that child was legally considered to be part of the family in every respect. He was no different than any natural children born to the father. And that included being an heir. If the father were to die and leave behind an inheritance, leave behind property or possessions, the adopted son would be treated no differently than any natural sons. He would get an equal portion of that inheritance like everyone else. Now that background is why it's important for our King James Version Bibles to translate the relevant Greek word as the adoption of sons. Sons. It's not just adoption in general or adoption as children in a general sense. We're adopted as sons, which means we have all the legal rights a son does, a natural son does. And we're also in line to receive an equal share of the inheritance. That's the way it is. I think the New English translation gets it best when it translates this word with the phrase, adopted as sons with full rights. Whether we're female or male, doesn't matter. All believers have the equivalent of what an adopted son would have received back in the days of the Roman Empire. And let's think for a moment about what we have received in our adoption as sons with full rights. First of all, there's what I mentioned already. The inheritance. What is the inheritance that the adopted sons of God receive? What is this inheritance to which the adopted sons of God have full rights? Well, it's described in 1 Peter 1, verse 4. It's described there as being incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. In 1 Peter 1, verse 4, it is described as being reserved in heaven for you. In 1 Corinthians, our inheritance is described as the kingdom of God. You could also think of it like the promised land. Our inheritance is a place of blessing. Our inheritance is the new creation. Our Father will give us a place in the new creation where we can dwell with Him forever and ever. Let that sink in. No Christmas gift you receive today will compare with that. Adoption as sons with full rights also means access. Access to the Father. If you were a slave in the time of the New Testament, you couldn't go to your master and ask him for whatever you wanted. You had no right to approach him. He approached you. And your master told you what he wanted you to do. But if you are a son with full rights, you're given access to the Father. Ephesians 2:18 says that through Christ, both Jew and Gentile have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Beautiful. We can draw near to God in prayer, and He will hear us. God's fatherly heart is inclined towards us in love. His ears are open to our pleas. And not only that, but He also promises to hear us, to answer us. Our adoption as sons with full rights means we can pray to God with confidence. So there's the inheritance. There's access. There's one more blessing that we've received in our adoption. With God as our Father, we're pitied, protected, and provided for. It's actually a threefold thing. We're pitied, protected, and provided for. And all of that falls under God's providence. In God's providence, He has mercy on us living in a broken world. In His pity for His adopted sons, He restrains the evil of a broken world. He protects His sons. He protects believers from the harm of any ultimate evil that might destroy us eternally. Our Father preserves us so we endure and persevere in our faith to the end. In our Father's providence, He provides us with everything we need each day for body and soul. Our Father takes care of us because that's what fathers do for their children. And since we're God's adopted sons with full rights, we can be absolutely sure He'll pity, protect, and provide for us too. Loved ones, what a blessing it is to be God's adopted sons. That's a privilege we ought to reflect on regularly. And as we do that, it leads us somewhere. It leads us to worship of God. It leads us to love for God. The beautiful gospel gift leads us to want to live as God's children, calling on Him each day and living to please Him. Because that's what children do. They want to please their Father because they love Him dearly. At least that's the way it normally is. That's the way it should be. Now I want to acknowledge that there may be some of us here, I don't know for sure, but there may be some of us here who have had or do have a difficult relationship with their earthly fathers. And that can be especially hard at this time of year when so many people are getting together with family. Sometimes human fathers can really let us down. They can disappoint us. Or even worse. And that can make it difficult to appreciate the Bible's doctrine of adoption. If you've never really known a decent father on earth, it can be hard to see how a heavenly Father is good and loving. The whole idea of a father might even be repulsive. That's a real struggle for some Christians. Certainly a struggle for some of the Christians that I've pastored in my ministry over the years. And if that's you, then I'd urge you to shift your focus for now to other ways in which God reveals Himself to us. For example, focus on Jesus. He is the gentle and lowly one who promises to be a faithful friend. Or focus on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who promises to be our comforter and counselor. In due time, you may be able to appreciate God's fatherhood and His adoption of us. But if you can't right now, listen, be gentle with yourself. And remember that the Bible presents our salvation in many different ways. And some of those ways are going to speak more powerfully to us at some times than others. And that's okay, it's all right. It doesn't mean adoption is not real or that God is not our Father. It just means that your experiences make it challenging for you to see the value in that at the moment. But that can change. And the Bible promises that someday it definitely will change. When you receive your inheritance, you will appreciate these biblical truths as much as any other. Celebrating Christmas means looking back at how God has blessed us with gospel gifts in the past. At Christ's first coming, we were blessed with gospel freedom and adoption. But celebrating Christmas should also mean looking forward. Looking forward to how God will bless us with even more gospel gifts in the future. At Christ's second coming, will be blessed with our inheritance. We'll be blessed with eternal joy and peace. We'll most of all be blessed with communion with Him. The deepest, richest kind of fellowship with Christ that we can possibly imagine. God is the best gift giver. And as such, we have reason to have Christmas cheer today and always. Let's pray together. Holy God and Father, we'll always be grateful that You sent Your Son with gospel gifts for us. Thank You that He was made of a woman, made under the law. He came as one of us to bear our curse and bring our blessing. We praise Your name because through Your Son, we have been redeemed from under the law. In Jesus, we have freedom from the law's curse and condemnation. We praise You for that. Thank You that in Christ we have the adoption of sons with full rights. You've promised us the inheritance of the new creation. You've given us access to You in prayer. In Your providence, You pity, protect, and provide for us. What a great and loving Father You are. Please help us with Your Holy Spirit always to appreciate these gospel gifts. Please give us a blessed Christmas celebration today as we continue to remember Your goodness in giving us Your Son as our beloved Savior. We pray in His name. Amen.